Listen to these words for the word of the Lord from the prophet Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The Lord's glory has shone upon you. Though darkness covers the earth and gloom the nations, the Lord will shine upon you. God's glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawning. Lift up your eyes and look all around. There they all are gathered. They have come to you. Your sons will come from far away, and your daughters on their caregivers' hips. And then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will tremble and open wide, because the sea's abundance will be turned over to you, and the nation's wealth will come to you. Countless camels will cover your land, young camels from Midian and Ephah. They will come, all of them, from Sheba, carrying gold and incense, and proclaiming the Lord's praises. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is a curious thing written hundreds of years before the birth of Messiah. This prophecy, this word of hope and of future, fulfilled almost to the letter in the narration of the birth story, complete with camels. Isn't it interesting that camels were mentioned, and there are wise people coming from far, far away and bringing camels or riding camels along? Camels were a staple of transportation in that land. They were large, healthy, sturdy animals that didn't have to have drinks of water very often, and in the desert, that's helpful. But a lot of these things, the kings from Sheba and carrying gold and incense and bringing camels, it's a prophecy of what is reported as being fulfilled in Matthew's version of the Christmas story. But it's about light, because the star is what led them there. And the star is what guided them and brought them and compelled them to travel. They were curious enough. These were educated people. They were astrologers. They knew the sky. And for them to have noticed this bright light, this new light in the sky, was a curious thing to them, and they had to go and explore it. And it led them to the place where the true light, the light of the world, was born. A man named Tom tells a story about when he was a teenager. He and some of his friends got rowdy one night, and they were just walking around the neighborhood. It was a warm night, and it was also very dark. Suddenly, one of them saw a police car and shouted out, "Cops!" They hadn't done anything wrong, and yet they didn't really want to be seen either. So they began to run. The police car saw them and watched them turn down an alley. Tom tripped and knocked over some trash cans. The police officers got out of the car and began to chase after them. One of the officers even turned on a searchlight. Tom looked around for his friends, but he didn't see them. All he saw was that burning, searing searchlight looking for him. He jumped behind the trash cans, only to find his friends already huddled there. With frantic energy, they tried to hide in and behind the trash cans, hoping to just kind of blend in. But the spotlight fell on Tom. "Come out where we can see you," said the voice behind the light. Tom stood up and stood right where he was, and there he was, covered with garbage. "What are you doing?" said the voice. "Nothing," Tom stammered. The voice said, "I can't hear you. What are you doing?" And Tom said, "Officer, I wasn't doing anything wrong. I saw the light, and I ran, and I knocked over these garbage cans. I'm so sorry about the disturbance." The searchlight was beaming into his eyes, blinding him, and he stood there in the light with nowhere to hide. Then the voice said, I think I recognize you. Don't you live just around the corner? Yes, he stammered. His heart was racing, and he thought to himself, my life is ruined. If I don't get arrested for disturbing the peace, something worse will happen. This officer's going to tell my parents. But then, the voice behind the light said something he didn't expect. Son, I'm not here to punish you. I am here to protect you. As he stood before the searchlight, Tom says he caught a glimpse of what it might mean to stand before Jesus, who is the light of the world. There he was, fully exposed and yet completely protected. He was fully revealed, yet free from the necessary punishment. He stood there hip deep in garbage, yet cleaner than he had ever felt, somehow cleansed by a light that cast no shadow. In that moment, he saw something of what it means to stand in the presence of Jesus, who is full of grace and truth. I am the light of the world, says Jesus. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And the church affirms, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. It's called Epiphany. Epiphany is what we celebrate today. It's a sudden and profound understanding of something new. It is like you see in the cartoons, when in the middle of a frame there's a light bulb that goes off over somebody's head. It is a realization, a moment of a new understanding. Maybe it's kind of like when you're looking for your keys and you suddenly think of where they are and a smile comes to your face. The definition of Epiphany is a Christian celebration on January 6th that recalls when the wise travelers from the East first saw Jesus. We don't know how long it took them to get there, but it took them several days. In fact, 12 days is the traditional time frame. I think it could have even been longer than that. But that's why we celebrate on January 6th, because that's 12 days from December 25th, according to the church year. But Epiphany is about the coming of light, and Jesus is the light. So when we talk about Epiphany, we talk about sharing that illumination, that new understanding, that new hope that comes to us in Jesus Christ. Arise, shine, for your light has come. God's glory will appear over you, and nations will come to your light. Is that familiar? That's from the prophet that we read earlier, from Isaiah. Not long after the first Epiphany, Jesus looks at his disciples and us and turns the definition of light. He says, you are the light of the world. They had thought of him as the light. And when he says that, he's specifically talking about doing good things in the world. You are the light of the world. And then he adds, don't you dare hide your light under a bushel basket. But in the Gospel of John, things are different. Here, instead of saying, you are the light, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And what does that mean? I think he's saying to us, I am the light of the world, and it's your job to reflect that light. The light of the star, the light of any star, our sun, for example, is a source of light. But other bodies in our sky, in our part of the cosmos, other bodies like planets, moons, comets maybe, can be seen because they reflect the light of our sun. If they didn't have that, they would have no light of their own. So, according to Jesus' definition, our job is to be good planets. Our job is to reflect the light so that others may find Him. Our job is to show the way. You can visit a physics class and learn a lot more about light. Light is the ultimate constant in the universe. It always travels at 186,000 miles per second. That light transmits energy and radiation and information, as in fiber optic cables. Or you can watch a student play with a prism and be amazed at the spectrum of colors that you can draw from a single beam of light. A couple of years ago, family and I attended a presentation in downtown Dallas outdoors on the streets called Light in the Night. What a great title it was. I had to go. There were light paintings, there were light sculptures, there were shadow sculptures, some of them live and moving. There were beams of colored light in the sky and colored lights projected on the buildings and sometimes even videos projected on the sides of buildings. Hundreds of interpretive art displays featuring light and color. It was a feast of light. It's fun to study the properties of light and to marvel at its beauty and its versatility. Physics can tell us a great deal about light, but there's one thing that's very hard to explain. Exactly what is light? What is it? We know what it is when we see it, but we can't really explain what it is. We can talk about the speed of light, but we can't see it moving. We can't see it traveling unless there are specks of dust in the way which catch the beams of light. We can only see what light illuminates. Unlike space or time, light cannot be defined over against anything else. Light simply exists. So what does it mean for Jesus to say, "I am the light of the world"? It's an eternal mystery for the very first item named in creation, and this is an ancient story, is light. And God said in the beginning, "Let there be light." Light and light again. It's the most basic prerequisite for living, for understanding the universe, for being able to observe anything. And then we have the poets. Like the language of the hymn, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," it has the phrase in it, "Light and life to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings." Light gives meaning, it gives understanding, it gives hope in a world that would otherwise be a complete mystery. So whatever light means, we know that it's an important concept for the Gospel of John. Two different times, the writer depicts Jesus as saying, "I am the light." On many occasions, however, the writer affirms that the coming of Jesus into our world is not merely a light shining, but a light breaking into the darkness. It's as if creation is happening all over again. For the writer says, "All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being." Remember in the cartoons when a character has an idea and a light bulb pops in over his head? It's a sign of hope, a sign of something new. Look around the world. You may see it. A pasture with a brilliant sunset. Or the glow of a student who has just gotten what the teacher is trying to communicate. There's light all around us. And it's our job to reflect it and to see it reflected in others. We take those words seriously from the Christmas carol, "Light and life to all He brings." And for those who can see it, there is light and life on Christmas. And the whole idea of the church is to share that light, to spread it, to reflect it into our world around us. At Christmas time, we may not be able to always understand completely what that means, but we'll know it when the opportunities come. We'll know it when we see it. In the Gospel of John, in one setting after another, Jesus defines Himself and says, things like, this is who I am, and he tells them. Some seven sayings, I am the bread of life, or I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. His words echo the opening of that same gospel, where the writer says, what has come into being in him is life, and that life is the light of all people. We worship a Messiah who says, I am the light of the world. We should not hide from that light, but we should run toward it. As Jesus comes into the world, God's light is not merely shining, but it's breaking into the darkness. It is as if creation is happening all over again. Let us celebrate the God who created light. Let us worship Jesus, who is the light. And let us pray. Oh God, we celebrate your glow and we run toward you. And we speed ourselves toward sharing that light with people around us in our world. Amen.
Right. Yeah,